The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
Friday morning, 1380 WPHM. Paul Miller is off today. He is down, probably already down in Detroit, because it's a home opener. You can listen to coverage 1245 today, AM 1380 WPHM from the Detroit Tigers Radio Network. You're a little bit closer to home. You look across the St. Clair River, see all those refineries over in Sarnia. And sometimes we're a little bit numb to the idea that multiple oil pipelines run right through our own backyard under the St. Clair River. And, you know, another stretch of pipeline runs underneath the Straits of Mackinac, that, of course, being Enbridge's Line 5 oil pipeline. And it is a political lightning rod here in Michigan, has been for quite some time. But there may be some resolution soon regarding a lawsuit between Attorney General Dana Nessel and the owner of that pipeline, Enbridge Energy. Lena Stebbins is a freelance journalist who covers a whole lot of environmental stuff and has really honed in on this Line 5 issue. We spoke to her last year where she kind of previewed this upcoming court case, and she was there in the court last month down in Cincinnati, Sixth Circuit. Lena Stebbins, good morning.
Good morning, Caleb. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, get us up to speed. Last we talked to you, what has all happened?
Oh, boy. So last we spoke was, I believe, last May. A few months later in July, the Sixth Circuit down in Cincinnati decided that it was an important enough issue that merited Nessel v. Enbridge to be heard in their domain in Ohio. So essentially, what we saw last month in that federal courtroom was a panel of three judges who weighed out the merits on both sides. Enbridge's attorney argued, the state's attorney, Dan Bach, argued, and we saw some very, very engaging and exciting oral arguments. So we will see what transpires from this.
This took place in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a federal court in Cincinnati. Actually, that's where our city manager had his case in front of them that ended up going to the Supreme Court last year. So a lot of interesting stuff coming out of the Sixth Circuit. But it's worth noting here that it's a federal court versus a state court. And this whole legal argument more or less is based on whether or not it should be heard by judges here in Michigan or should be heard by federal judges.
Correct. The state brought the case in 2019, so almost 5 years ago, in state court. They're relying on state doctrines, public trust doctrine, state laws. And after Enbridge successfully removed Whitmer v. Enbridge to federal court, Enbridge ostensibly saw that, thought they could have the same kind of success with Nessel v. Enbridge. So shortly after that, they removed Nessel v. Enbridge to federal court as well. If it stays in federal court, as Enbridge hopes, then the case would be significantly skewed toward Enbridge's favor. And conversely, if it does end up in state court, then Nessel has a huge home advantage.
So the arguments doing this one way or another is kind of the interstate commerce aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have an international oil pipeline goes from Superior, Wisconsin to Sarnia, Ontario, so it crosses the international border. So they say that that falls under the federal jurisdiction due to that. What's the argument for keeping it at the state level?
Well, Nessel's arguments, when she first brought this in summer 19, rely on public trust and state laws. I mean, the oil pipelines themselves were built in the Straits of Mackinac. They signed an easement with the state of Michigan in the 50s. And the Straits of Mackinac, as you know, are incredibly environmentally sensitive. The state has all of the interest in the world to protect that and, you know, of course, the tribes have a lot of stake in this as well, because that is their treaty territory. So Nestle is arguing very strongly that this should be kept in state court because of all of those reasons. And Enbridge, being a Canadian pipeline company, has all the reason to argue otherwise. This is Canadian oil, and it largely benefits Canada because it flows back into Sarnia. And they bring up a 1977 treaty with Canada that touches on interstate commerce. And the state has argued that that has no place in these arguments, and the state should have the ultimate say here as to whether the oil pipeline can continue to operate.
Lena, if this is remanded back to the state, what happens next, and what does that mean for not only the existing oil pipeline as it is underneath the Straits of Mackinac, but the plans to build a new tunnel to encase the pipeline in the future?
Well, so it is Nestle's hope, obviously, that the three-judge panel, so judges Sapar, Griffin, and Nabaldian, will decide in about 3 months' time, probably, that the case can be remanded back to state court. In that situation, it would go back to the Ingham County Circuit Court. So Judge Jamo would be at the helm once again, like he was so many summers ago, it feels like. And when I spoke with Nestle the day after the court action last month, she said that she hopes the court agrees that they can get this back into county circuit court. She also hopes that Judge Jamo has been keeping apprised of developments in the case and hopefully has been making some progress in terms of their motions for summary disposition. So if it is remanded back to state court, then Jamo can work expeditiously to, you know, have some progress on the case, and things can move forward in a timely manner and move toward resolution. As far as the tunnel, that is an entirely separate goings on, and there are permitting decisions that are rolling along. Some are taking longer than others, but Enbridge hopes to get those permits completed as soon as possible so they can start building the proposed tunnel that will encase new pipelines for them.
Now, in these court cases, and it's so hard to tell sometimes, but you were there in the room. Was there any indication on which way the judges might have been swayed?
Yes. So this is entirely from my perspective, but the AG gave a little hint of this as well when I spoke with her. When Daniel Bach from the AG's office was arguing, he received so much engagement from the three judges. And Nestle said that sometimes you get something called a dead bench, where the judges really aren't engaging with the arguing attorneys, and they're just kind of sitting back and listening. This was the polar opposite of that. The judges were engaged, sitting up in their seats, talking with Daniel Bach and going back and forth with case law. And it was so exciting and interesting. And they seemed to be agreeing with him on a lot of points and just wanting to know, like, specifics. And when it came to Alice Loughran, who is the Enbridge attorney who argued that day, she received a lot of pushback. The main point of contention between her and the judges was the fact that Enbridge chose to remove 887 days after the case was brought in state court rather than 30 days, which is the traditional deadline that you can remove. They argued that there were operative events that happened as related to the treaty and then the governor's lawsuit as well. But the judges seemed to, I don't want to say side, but the judges seemed to be more in the manner of the state's opinion that all of these operative events that happened, okay, if that's true, here's a 30-day deadline on that, and you missed that as well. So I think they are puzzled as to why Enbridge chose to remove when it did. And at one point, there were some pretty amazing comments that I didn't expect to hear in a federal courtroom, like, did you remove the case in bad faith? And remarks like that. So, yeah, it was incredibly interesting.
So you're saying it might be on procedure, not necessarily substance, on what ends up making this remanded back.
Correct. So something that Nestle told me as well was that she was hoping, you know, because we had busloads of Line 5 activists who are opposed to the pipeline, they all shuttled down. It was about 4 hours and two buses. She was hoping that, you know, they spent all that time getting there, they wouldn't be bored to tears, because this was essentially on the technicalities of federal jurisdiction, when to remove. Those were the main points that we went over. So really, you didn't hear about whether it's ethically sound to have an oil pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac. What are the consequences environmentally? You didn't hear any of that last month. It was purely on which jurisdiction does this belong to, and why did Enbridge choose to remove when it did, and was that legally sound?
We're speaking with Lena Stebbins, who's a freelance journalist who covers Line 5. And Lena, when do we expect some sort of decision from this court?
So cases like this, the timeline has varied due to COVID. The broad timeline would be 3 to 9 months. It was more toward 9 months during COVID. These days, it's a little shorter. Nestle told me that her team expects probably within 3 months. She also said it seemed like they might have had their mind made up, but you can never be sure with a court case like this, especially. And obviously they need time to write the opinion, whichever way it goes. So I'm going to estimate about 3 months.
All right, about 3 months. And then I guess we'll have to check back in with you then to see what happens next, whether it stays here in the state of Michigan or if it continues down the federal track. Lena Stebbins covering Line 5. And we appreciate you joining us here on The Morning Show on WPHM.
Thank you so much, Caleb.
You're very welcome. And this is Caleb Gordon in for Paul Miller today on the WPHM Morning Show.